Today's reading is from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 9, verses 1 to 13, from the NRSV version. David asked, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and he was summoned to David. The king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." The king said, "Is there anyone remaining of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" Ziba said to the king, "There remains the son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said to the king, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amir, at Lodibah." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, son of Amir, at Lodibah. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance. David said, "Mephibosheth," he answered, "I am your servant." David said to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will show you the kindness of the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you yourself shall eat at my table always." He did obeisance and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon a dead dog such as I?" Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all the house that I have given to your master's grandson, you and your sons and your servants shall all till the land for him and shall bring in the house produce and bring in the produce so that your master's son may have food to eat. But your master's grandson, Mephibosheth, shall always eat at the table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands to his servant, so your servant will do." Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he always ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both of his feet. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
I'm very mindful of the contention in the realm of the spirit over the message of the kingdom. This is a liberating message. This is a message that will bring about a lot of changes in the church and in the nations of the earth. And I believe that God is restoring the message to the church now because we're nearing the time where everything is going to be, what's the word, restored. That's the word. So I want to pray, okay? Father, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we thank you for the authority of your word. We thank you, it is by your word that you created the heavens and the earth. It's by your word that you sustain the heavens and the earth. It's by your word that you sustain and order the heavens and the earth. Father, I want to pray today that as we bring this word of the kingdom, chains will break, eyes will be open, hearts will be set free, lives will be restored. Father, I'm aware of the opposing view. The kingdoms of this world, qualified in the spirit realm as Babylon. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over that spirit. And we bind you in the name of Jesus. And we cause you to fall to the ground that the people of God may be liberated. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let there be an entrance for your word in the hearts of people. I let this word travel For as far as wide as you want to take it, let it go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Tell your neighbor, get ready. I want you to also say, Lord, speak to me. My message is titled Vignettes of the Kingdom. Vignettes of the Kingdom is kind of a fancy title, but that's all I could think of, so I put it there. But to be honest with you, I've had exposure in industry, in advertising and marketing, and sometimes we use this word, vignette, okay? But it simply means a slice of life, some kind of microscopic or a little story that reveals a larger story. And in the story of Mephibosheth that has been read to us beautifully by my brother, it clearly shows some aspects of the kingdom. It's not the entirety of the kingdom, but it shows some aspects of the kingdom that I believe God wants us to embrace today. So there are glimpses of the kingdom. There are glimpses of the kingdom. I normally like to do some caveats when I'm teaching on the kingdom because I don't want to assume that everybody understands the kingdom or everybody is aware of what the kingdom is. So I just do this very quickly to help us. The kingdom of God is the realm of God's rule. The kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. It is not visible to the eyes. It is a spiritual kingdom. It's a mystical kingdom. And yet it has great impact in the physical realm. And the more you understand how the kingdom comes, the more you begin to see that this is what we actually need for transformation. When the kingdom invades, there is transformation. Praise the Lord. Number three, the kingdom is invincible. It is not defeatable. Nobody can come against the kingdom and succeed. They've tried, they failed. They'll keep on trying and failing. Because the kingdom is invincible. It's all powerful. It's all consuming. And yet it's an humble kingdom. It's an humble kingdom. Interesting. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, for me, this is where language comes in. The Hebrew words for these three things make it more meaningful to someone like me. So the word righteousness is the word tzedek, which has to do with equity and justice and the capacity to lift up the needy and to care for people. Pastor Malcolm was quoting earlier on Proverbs 13:34, righteousness exalts a nation. And over the years, I've been telling people this righteousness that exalts a nation is basically measured by how a nation cares for its weakest individual. So a kingdom community is very conscious of the weak, very conscious of those who are not privileged, and very conscious of the fact that we should lift people up. Amen? The second word that we see here is the word peace, shalom. Shalom in Hebrew. Everybody thinks this word just means have peace. That's not what it means. Shalom is a more encompassing word that means the nothing missing, nothing broken, covenant blessings of God bestowed upon you. So when a Jewish person tells you shalom, they're wishing you that everything good will happen to you. Praise the Lord. So shalom to you. The third word is the word joy. And that word is the word shimka. Joy is not, I always say to people, this joy you can't buy. It's not, there's no market, there's no shop to go and buy joy. Joy has to be given to you. But it's the inner quality or whatever it is that the kingdom brings into you that makes you not so shaky in times of trouble. In fact, you're able to stand. You know, it's not based on externals. When you have the joy of the Lord, external things can't take it away from you. That's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in these days that we live in, these days of shakings, Kato Kariba, Makete Kelibra. There is a lot of shaking going on. And if we are not rooted and grounded in the kingdom, we will shake too. But I'm telling you, if you have the kingdom in you, you will not be shaken. Because the Bible says we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. Amen, amen and amen. The kingdom of God is always advancing. The kingdom of God is all powerful. The kingdom of God is everlasting, it's eternal. It has no end. Like we say in our language, it's like lie. It's forever and ever. The kingdom of God has citizens, and the citizens are both kings and priests. Now, let me explain this. A lot of believers are comfortable with priestly ministry, prayer, worship. Kingly ministry, we are very shy. It's like, am I a king? Look at your neighbor. In fact, don't look at your neighbor. Tell yourself I'm a king. You are a king. There is royalty. You are the royal of all royalties. There is no kingship like our kingship. It's just that people confuse the kingship of the world with the kingship of the kingdom. We're totally different people, totally different operations, and totally different models. Our kingship is humble and is service. We don't lord it over people. We're not about oppression, dictatorship. That's not what we're about. We're about liberation. We're about dignity of the human being. We're about exalting God, and we're about lifting people to know him. The kingdom of God has a constitution, and it's the Bible. And like I say, I may be correct on this. The Sermon on the Mount, as far as I'm concerned, is the heart of the constitution. It's the heart of the constitution. And the Beatitudes, as far as I'm concerned, that's the heart of the heart. That's the heart of the heart. Finally, our kingdom has a king. Praise the Lord. And his name is Jesus. Can I read to you a little bit about Jesus? Come with me to the book of Colossians. I know, let me take some time in doing this. The Bible says that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he's before all things. And in him all things consist. He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the first. He's the last. He's the beginning. He's the end. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What do you know about Jesus? Can you call out something about him? Can you call out the name of Jesus? Let's shabak him in this place. Let's glorify him in this place. Tell me, who is Jesus to you? Speak out a word. Speak out something about Jesus. Let's give him praise. Let's exalt him in this place. He's the light of the world. He's the light of men. He's the light of life. He's my older brother. He's my best friend. He's the true vine. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise in this place. Give him praise. Give him praise. Let me dive into the story of Mephibosheth very quickly. Mephibosheth, basically in this story, we see some elements of the kingdom. I don't have to cover everything. I'll cover whatever I can cover. And we'll see how God leads us. So, the first thing I wanted to share is that the king is always the initiator. In our kingdom, the king takes initiative. And I have to tell you, it is something that I struggled with until I learned the difference between the Greek mind and the Jewish mind. I struggled with it because, you see, I've been brought up in an educational system, a world system that tells me, take the initiative. Get up and do something. Don't be this, don't be that. Jump up and do that. Nobody told me. I need to wait for instruction. And so in the Western culture and in the mindset of the Greek, the idea is even when God is speaking, you try to tell God, how does your word fit my life? And if it doesn't fit my life, I get rid of it. Yeah, that's it. It's about convenience Christianity. And it is not about convenience. I learned from the Jewish people that when God speaks, they adjust their lives to fit God's word. Amen? There's a major difference between the two. Some of you are looking at me and say, oh, that's a bit, I feel a bit, that's personal. No, just take it. It is by grace. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we learn how to yield and submit to God. But He is the initiator. There are many things that we start that God is not in. Then you beg Him to come and bless what you are doing. Hey, come on, people. It's time we took the kingdom. He blesses what He does. Amen? And I'm telling you, get it right on that and you will see a lot of changes in your life. Praise the Lord. Let me move on. The king is the initiator. He comes looking. He comes knocking. I told somebody when I was preaching one day, I was telling them, I said, if God told you, come, where are you going to go? If God says, come, where are you going to go? Do you know where you are going to go? Do you have an address? Do you have a telephone number? Do you know somewhere where you are going to go and meet Him? Our God is a self-revealing God. He reveals Himself to you. He will invite you and He will reveal Himself to you. Amen? God will reveal Himself to you. Jesus gave some parables. Parable of the lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep. And they all show us that God went looking. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, God came looking. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And that probably is a word for somebody today. Where are you? God is calling you. Praise the Lord. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The next thing I want to talk about, sorry, jumping ahead of ourselves. Mephibosheth. His name means breathing shame or obliterating shame. I prefer the second one. But they both mean, and it could also mean one who breaks shame, which whatever, I like those ones. This guy had a problem. He's a descendant of Saul, a grandson of Saul. Saul's kingdom came to an abrupt end, taking him, Saul, out, and Jonathan, Mephibosheth's father, out on the same day. It was a disaster. And, the nurse that was looking after Mephibosheth tried to rescue him and was running away with him, and she fell down, and Mephibosheth became lame in both feet. Sad story. Many people in this life, what you are battling in your life is not what you did. Some of it is generational. Some of it is sins of people, other people. But I have to tell you something. The Bible says that our fathers sinned, Lamentations chapter 5, verse 17, and we reap the iniquity, okay? But I want to tell you something. I know a person. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. So it does not matter what generational problem you may be carrying. There is a Jesus that has already paid for you to be liberated from every generational cause, every generational issue in your life. Beyond this, even if it was your hand that did it, and you created a mess out of your life, Jesus can take your mess and make a message out of it. I know that's cliche, but actually it sounds good. Praise the Lord. People don't qualify by being good or nice or righteous or whatever in our kingdom. People qualify because Jesus qualifies them. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Acknowledging your undoneness is a big qualification for God to use you and to work in your life. My next slide, oh, sorry. What have I done? I switch it off. Can I switch it back? Okay, yep. My next slide says God can turn your scrambled egg life into a sunny side up life. And some of you are thinking about your breakfast or hungry. But give me a moment. Let me help you with this. I can tell you that it is only God that can take a scrambled egg and make it into a whole egg again. Amen? It does not matter how scrambled your life is, God can make it whole again. Not just make it whole, He can even turn it into a nice, beautiful, sunny side up. Praise the Lord, with the yolk like that. Very nice. That's what He did in my own life, and that's what He's still doing in my life. I was a mess. I was a bundle of scrambled egg. And He turned it around and made a whole egg and then cracked it and made a sunny side up. Praise the Lord. Smile to your neighbor. Smile. It's all going to work out eventually with Jesus. It's going to work out. Amen. You know, in our language, I'm sorry, please, we say something. And I'm serious. We call God Awamaridi. Those of you that can speak Yoruba, you understand it, but I'm going to explain it. Awamaridi means unfathomable God. You see, it is only God that can take an egg, all right, an egg, crack a coconut to disgrace a stone. Did you hear what I just said? God will take an egg to crack a coconut to disgrace a stone. God will fill a basket with water to disgrace a bucket. He's the only one who can do it. So I don't know what they have told you. You're a basket case, or you are a messed up case, or what. God can turn your life around and use you for His glory. And those who thought nothing can come out of your life will look at you and say, wow. Wow. You see, when God works, that's all you get. Wow. Wow. Somebody's life is going to be done with a wow today. Amen. This is for somebody. God nudged me to preach this for somebody. You see, the kingdom of God is a covenant kingdom. We don't do anything about this covenant. It's initiated by God. It's sustained by God. It's worked through by God. We just get to enjoy. Amen. David just thought about this guy and said, bring him and establish him. The word covenant kindness in the Hebrew is the word kesed. Kesed, sorry. You know, it's guttural. So I don't know how to do that. I've been learning Hebrew, but I've not qualified for that yet. But I'm going to go and get training. Kesed. But you see, in essence, the word kesed means to be kissed by God. That's what it means. That God embraces you and kisses you. But not just kiss you on the lips. He kisses you on your heart. And this kiss kind of lingers. It does not go. It does not leave you. It's an experience that you cannot get rid of. How many have been kissed by God? How many have been kissed by God? God wants to kiss somebody's heart today. I have enjoyed the kissed of God. Oh, many times when God comes, I begin to weep. And sometimes there's no reason to cry except that I've been kissed by God. Ooh, somebody tonight, this afternoon, you are going to receive that kiss. Ooh, I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The kingdom of God is our restoration. God restores. What's going on? Oh, sorry. Yeah. In the kingdom of God, there's restoration. I want you to hear something very quickly. In Psalm 40, please, you can open your Bibles. I'll just read this very quickly. Psalm 40. Thank you, Jesus. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord and inclined to me. He heard my cry and he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. I like to go African on this one. Just for a moment. And some of you can learn the word. The Bible says he drew us out of the miry clay. In Africa, miry clay is called potopoto. He drew me out of the potopoto of life. He will draw you out of the miry clay of life. He will set your feet upon the rock. He will put a new song in your mouth. It does not matter what anybody says. If God chooses to lift you up, nobody can stop it. There is no wisdom. There is no counsel. There is no insight that can succeed against the Lord. Hallelujah. God is for you. And God wants to restore you. And when he restores you, it is always better than what you had before. Amen. Amen. When God restored the skin of Naaman the leper, the Bible said his skin was like the skin of a newborn child. Woo, that's a blessing for somebody. Next one. We get to sit at the table. We get to sit at the table. David brought Mephibosheth and sat him at the table. Some of you may not understand the dimensions of this, but there is a table that you and I have been given access to. Before, my wife would say, oh, Charles, we're eating from the crumbs that are falling off the table. But when we started hearing this kingdom message, she said to me, I now understand that we can eat from the table. Because it's the kingdom message that brings us to understanding of what is laid before us. Amen? Some of you, if you are invited to a banquet and you are given a seat at the table and they start serving the food, some of you may say, oh, I'm not hungry. They serve you drinks, I'm not thirsty. But I want to tell you, this place is not the place to be shy. It's all there for you. Take as much as you want. Do you know you cannot finish the food on the table? You cannot finish the resources on the table? It is everlasting. Everlasting provision. It cannot be exhausted. Eat as much as you want. Drink as much as you want. Fill yourself with what? It's the kingdom. It's yours. It's ours. Amen? Praise the Lord. In Nigeria, we have a saying. We say, high table guests. High table guests. But you and I now are on the high table. Amen. Amen? We have a high table and it's reserved for us. The Bible says he lifted up and sat us together with him in the heavenly places. We're raised to sonship. We're raised to sonship. In the kingdom, we're sons of God. Amen? And sons come with rights and responsibility. You see, as I was studying this scripture on Mephibosheth, the Lord told me to go to this chapter before. And the chapter before, the last line says, and David's sons were chief ministers. So when David was restoring Mephibosheth, he was bringing him into becoming one of his sons who is a chief minister. Interesting. He gets to decide what happens in the kingdom. He gets to decide the affairs of state. That is our position. Amen? Amen? Don't sell yourself short. We have been restored to sonship. We have responsibility. And we can talk about that later. But today, I want to tell you, you are a son of God. It's your position. You didn't earn it.
You can't qualify for it. It is given to you by grace. Praise the Lord. Next one. Beware of the dead dog spirit. The dead dog spirit. Many people just said, what do you have to do with a dead dog such as I? And all of us sometimes, we sell ourselves short. We say we are being humble. Oh, I don't deserve it. Yes, nobody deserves it, but we have been qualified for it. It's our birthright. You know, the other day I was talking, my wife and I were having a discussion about Jesus made a statement. It was a very powerful statement. He said, of those born of the kingdom of God, no one is, he said, of those born of women, no one is greater than John the Baptist. But of those born of the kingdom, even the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And that kind of affected my thoughts. I thought, how can anybody be greater than John the Baptist? All these guys in the Old Testament, they were, and God said, no, the least in the kingdom is greater. And we came to the conclusion that if the son of William walked into this room today, or we meet him outside, you will notice that there will be deference to him. People will bow, people will curtsy. All right? This little boy that we're curtsying for, why are we curtsying for him? It's not because he has done anything. It's because he was born into it. Amen? We are born into this position. Therefore, get rid of the dead dog spirit. I don't deserve it. I don't qualify for it. Stop saying that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have given me. Thank you for where you have made me. I am who I am by the grace of God. Amen. Be liberated from false humility. Be liberated from it. Now, my wife and I are saying, we have had enough time shrinking and hiding. Now, we are going to go public with whatever God gives us. We're not afraid to declare who God has made us. We're not boasting in ourselves. We're boasting in what somebody has accomplished for us. He has given us a new identity. And we're called to walk in that. My last one. I'll stop on this. When Mephibosheth came to Jerusalem, the Bible said he sat at the table and ate continually. When you sit at the table of the Lord, he was still lame in his feet. That table covers your lameness. Nobody sees your lameness when you're on the table. You see, it's from here upwards now. So whatever your weaknesses are, whatever your proclivities are, whatever your failures are, whatever your history is, whatever the enemy has said about you, God has covered it under the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And it is not a table where anybody comes to condemn you or to rebuke you or to tell you off. It's a table where you are accepted, where you are affirmed, where you are loved, where you are blessed. Praise the Lord. God knows our proclivities. Yes, he does. God knows our weaknesses. Yes, he does. God knows where we're weak. God knows where we're strong. God knows everything about us. Despite our weaknesses, God still loves us. Hug yourself. Say, God loves me. Just hug yourself. God loves me. And I want to end with this by telling you that the Bible said he ate continually at the table. This is forever. This is forever and ever and ever and ever. There is not one day that God will stop loving you. There's not one day that God will stop caring for you. There's not one day that God will stop blessing you. He will do it for all eternity. We get to reign with Jesus for all eternity. Somebody give Jesus praise in this place. It's forever. It's forever. As I close, I just want to ask a question. Is somebody here whose name is on that table? There's some reserved spaces. And on those reserved spaces, there's a name tagged there. Is it your name? Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because there's an invitation for you to come to that table and take your place. Actually, we miss you at the table. And you'll be missing out on some nice courses. But really, when you get there, you can make up. Amen?